Happy holidays, everybody. This is your girl, Keisha, from Put Your Phone Down podcast. I want everybody to know that this is episode 30. I am quite excited about this. I am over the moon, as a matter of fact. And I'm not going to hold you all because I know y'all in the kitchen still getting some things moving. But this episode is very important to me. And I want to thank Sharice Butler right now, before I even go into anything, for just being a part of this. Who I have on the line with me is somebody who I can just tell, I've spoken to her just twice, but this woman is blessed and highly favored. And I do honestly feel that she was put here to do God's work. I'm telling you now, this episode is going to take you there. I ended up getting on the phone with her and we spoke briefly. And I said, look, I want to do something because I feel that a lot of people are getting pulled into social media addiction, including myself. I started feeling kind of different. During the little time that I was off of social media and I got back on, I felt different. I felt a shift. And when we talked, I knew that she was up for the challenge. This woman, if you guys haven't seen her bio that I posted, she is no joke. She is this awesome therapist. She has a lot of things under her belt. She's clinical director, has her own business, Rising Phoenix Consultants. I want you all to listen to this woman who has over 20 years of experience under her belt. And that's not counting the time that she was a counselor to friends and family. I was going to call a doctor because I already told her that's what I was going to do. I can't help it. I'm just going to call a doctor. I'm gonna have to because this, I wasn't even gonna say it, but I'm like, look, okay, it is what it is. I have Dr. Jerry Posey, and I'm just gonna say what it is because you guys, after you hear her, you already go get your therapy session, so why not? Okay, okay. Dr. Sherry Posey, I really want to thank you for taking out the time. You guys, she's located in Michigan, so I believe she's an hour ahead of where I am, and she's taking her time. And we go get into the meat and potatoes, but I wanted to give you your flowers and your accolades, and I just want to thank you in advance for this awesome conversation, and it's very well needed.
Keisha, Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for my flowers. I love them. It's funny that you say that. My mother always used to say, give her flowers while she's still here to see them, enjoy them, and smell them. So thank you for that. It's interesting how we see ourselves sometimes versus how somebody else sees us. So when I sent the bio, it's just a bio I've used for, other work, or it's just a standard little bio. But when I hear you talk about it, you make me believe that I'm doing something with my life, that using it.
You are. I appreciate that. That's the thing. So, and I'm just go, and you welcome, but I am going to say, and I've said this to you before, just briefly, what you do, you're a counselor. That to me means extending yourself even when you may not feel like it. You can have your world coming down, and what you do, I'm sure you didn't even have to go to school with it for it, but what you do is what you were called to do. Like, this is not something that anybody should take lightly. And I do feel at times it's thankless when you have somebody that you're trying to heal through words and you have to continue to heal that person while going through whatever you're going through.
Yes.
I gotta give you your flowers because it's a lot of people walking around with heavy hearts, and then it's people like you, and so you are welcome for your flowers. It's more where that came from, I'm sure. You know,
it's more where
that, yeah, it's more where that came from. And so while, you know, we pretty much in the zone of it,
mm-hmm.
I want to know what led you to this, you know.
God. I will just say it's by the grace of God that I'm here. You know, this has been who I am since the beginning. You know, I remember clearly being around 7 or 8 years old. And I grew up that time on the north end of Detroit. And there used to be a bus near Oakland Avenue, and I think it was Holbrook. And I remember we were driving by in a car, and I saw somebody was homeless. I didn't know what it meant to be homeless. My mom or dad explained to me what was going on with that person, because I was like, why are their clothes so dirty? Don't they have a house? I'm asking all these questions. You know, I was one of those little kids who asked a ton of questions. I'm sure I drove my parents crazy, but that was me. And when they explained to me about homelessness, my thought was, what happens to a person that their lives end up like that? You know, when they were a baby in the hospital, just like you or I were born, what happens to that person that their lives end up like that? And I also had an uncle who suffered from schizophrenia. One of my father's oldest brother, my Uncle Scipio, he was the best. He was wonderful. He was funny, smart. You know, he used to write songs for Motown, but he suffered from schizophrenia. And I just remember being a child and just being curious as to what happened. Why is he that way? When one minute he was just such a wonderful uncle, and then you see him a few days later and he just seemed like a different person. So I just really think I know it's been God. I've seen a lot, learned a lot, and I have experienced a whole lot. And I think that, you know, some of the stuff I've gone through, God allowed me to go through it because he knew what he wanted my life to look like, what he wanted me to do with my life. And so I've seen a lot, experienced a whole heck of a lot. And it makes me, I think, pretty non-judgmental. And this is what I would do for free if I could afford to.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's my passion. And sometimes I do.
And that's the thing. It's like, I want to give shout out to the inquisitive kids out here. You know, mm-hmm. I know parents get exhausted, but you don't know who you building. You know what I'm saying? It's like, instead of telling the kid, hey, look, be quiet, you're talking too much, you don't know what you building this kid up to be, because now mm-hmm. look at you, you know,
right.
From an inquisitive kid with empathy,
yes.
Has now led you to what you are doing and doing it well.
Oh,
you know.
You.
So we're going to talk about Rising Phoenix because I love the name.
Thank
so
you.
Can you dive into, look, I want to know how I can get grown like you, because I'm reading this bio and this is your baby.
Yes.
This is your baby.
It is my baby. You know, I've been in human services for the majority of my adult life, helping in some kind of capacity. I've done everything from working at homeless shelters as a case manager. I worked for the state of Michigan. I've done protective services, children's and adults. I've had the opportunity to teach and counsel on college and universities here in Michigan. And in 2019, I decided to open my own private practice. Initially, it was just part-time because I was still working full-time for the state of Michigan. I kept hearing God say, it's time to go. It's time to go. Step out there. You can do it. You can do it yourself. And I'll be honest with you, I was, you know, slowing around. And then we came to 2020 and I ended up taking some time off. I ended up getting COVID. My youngest daughter moved out of state and I was there with her, helping her move from Michigan to Philadelphia. And I was due to go back the next day. Keisha, when I tell you, I was grieving having to go back to work, go back to my job, because I knew it just was not right for me anymore. It was so hard. I talked with my sisters, both my daughters and my niece, and one of my best friends. I talked to her and I was like, I can't do it. And she was like, so why are you trying to? And I said, well, that's a good question. And I honestly, I prayed about it. I was like, Lord, this must be the time, because I can't go back. I knew I could not step back into that job because I couldn't do it the justice that the job deserved, because it was no longer for me. I was not able to help my clients the way that I knew I was supposed to be doing. I wasn't using everything that God put in me because I couldn't. My interactions were so short that I couldn't do what he called me to be. So literally from a cell phone, I sent a resignation to my supervisor and her supervisor saying, as of today, October 14th, 2020, I resign. And I have not looked back once. I have not regretted once taking that step, because I knew God was had put this in me. And so he was going to have to show me how to do it, how to get it going, how to expand. And he definitely did. Now, besides myself, I have three other therapists that work for my agency who are wonderful. One of them happens to be my niece. She kind of followed in my footsteps and she has a degree in counseling. The other two I've worked with at different places. Rising Phoenix is blessed that we have a Black male therapist, Derek, who is phenomenal working with young men and boys. And he has a heart for it. And just to have him there, Jennifer's so good with teens. And then I have another therapist, Karen. She's so good. And she primarily works with women in like midlife stages of their lives. So I have just been truly blessed. And I know that it's God. And it's the Bible verse, Habakkuk 2, verse 2 talks about.
Oh, there we go.
Write the vision, make it plain, so all the seer would pick it up and run with it. And 2:3 says, for the revelation awaits an appointed time.
Come on, doctor.
And you know, it speaks of the end and will not prove false. So, you know, it's a appointed time and God is not one who can lie. That means it's supposed to happen. So I know that day back in October of 2020, that was the appointed time for Rising Phoenix Counseling Associates to be started. And we have been doing great ever since. And, you know, I've never been happier. I don't go to work one day upset about having to go to work. Even though we hear some difficult things, I'm always excited.
That's what life, I feel, should be. You know, I think we created that extra tension. Okay, man, I got to go to this job I hate. Yeah. And there might be something in us. We don't even know that it's God sometimes.
Yes.
Because we place worry there. Well, that sounds crazy. The job pays good and I got bills to pay. But man, he will stretch you further than what your imagination has ever. And before you know it, like you, you standing in your dream. I do want you to know I'm going to continue to call you doctor. So yeah, just
I'm working.
You just gonna have to, right. I know you are, but you just gonna have to get used to it. So okay. What I do want to dive into, and that's before we get to actually the social media aspect, is you hit on the importance of the people that you have around you, that they all play a part. How important do you think it is for, I know you mentioned a Black male, but let's make this like a community, for the Black community to embrace therapy?
Yes. Oh, my goodness, Keisha. That's it. You know, in a lot of Black families, the notion of what goes on in the home stays in the home, it permeates, right? You don't tell anybody outside what's going on in our house. You don't tell anybody, excuse me, if you're needing something, if our lights went off, you don't tell anybody, or if there is, you don't have enough food or whatever it is. So-and-so had an argument and Uncle George is the one, you just don't go in his room. We kept secrets. We called a family member with mental health special. Oh, just don't go in cousin Bobo's room, you know, or whatever. Just stay away from them. And we keep those secrets. I'm not sure where that all developed or why it was so pervasive in our community, but it really is. We have this misbelief that we have stuff to be ashamed about. If depression is something shameful, anxiety, other mental health disorders like schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, all of these things are not to be ashamed of. They're just fact. Mm-hmm. And we aren't taught that a lot of times in African American communities, that some things are just fact. And then I'm going to go here. I'm going to talk about us in the Black church. Another reason why I think we strayed away from therapy is the Black church. We were taught, you know, if it's not happening, that means you're not praying hard enough. Mm-hmm. Or just pray about it. And if you weren't seeing a change, that means that there was something wrong with you. Mm-hmm. And that's not it. Because God works through people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like to say, a friend of mine, LaDon Moore, she has a group she calls Let's Talk About It, where she specifically talks about the Black church. And she said, you know, she coined the phrase, you can have a therapist and God too. Mm-hmm. You know, one doesn't exclude the other. And that we don't understand that when we have depression and anxiety, they're not just a mental health issue. They become a physical health issue as well. Mm-hmm. And that it's okay to step out and get some help. That's what we're here for. It's not about being judged. When you come to a therapist, we're not judging you because of your past. We all have a past too. Sometimes a present. Like you said, sometimes we can be in the midst of our own hell. Things falling apart in our lives, because that's just a part of life. So we don't come with a judgmental aspect towards it. And so, I just think those are some of the reasons I think our people strayed away from it.
Wow. And that's the truth. Everything you said, I'm just like, you know, I know that this is an audio podcast, but I'm not in my head, because it's so many things that us as a community, we do protect. Mm-hmm. You know, we protect the person that's causing the harm more so than the victim, you know. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about that too. We have a lot of people walking around that have been hurt in any type of way, verbally, physically, by that one mm-hmm. family member that needed the help the most. Mm-hmm. and they were protected. You know,
we're protecting people who have molested children,
mm-hmm.
who have raped children in our own families. We have protected them.
That's the uncle that stays in that room.
Exactly.
Yeah, like that's the uncle. That's right. Yup. That's the uncle. Don't sit on his lap. That's the uncle.
Yeah.
Don't go in that room, like you said. And instead of having a family meeting, hey, look, you know, I like the fact that you knew early on that your uncle had mental illness, and it wasn't, oh, well, look, let's not say nothing. You knew, you know, I don't know at that time, but you were able, when you told your story, okay, this is my uncle. I love my uncle. You talked about the good that you saw in him, but you also noticed that there was a flip. The fact that you identified, okay, hold on, there's something wrong, but it's a lot of people in our community, they get labeled crazy, and that's about it.
And that's it. My parents didn't hide it. I remember my uncle, I remember riding in the car with my father when they couldn't find my uncle. He knew what streets to drive down to find him. And then he used to go to Northville Hospital. I remember going to Northville to see him. They didn't hide it from us.
And that was laid out for you. And that's, but big ups to your parents for that, because this is what we, you know, what my goal is, honestly, to uncover these things, you know, because it's freedom in that, you know. I think that a lot of the times, as like you said, we own that catchphrase, what goes on stays here. And although that can be true, if somebody is doing something and you know, don't keep that to yourself. These people have to be helped in some type of way. Don't mean that they bad. It just means that something, they need some help, and we need to help them.
Yes, for sure. For sure. And they can't get the help unless somebody speaks out.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that, you know, you really did. I mean, when I tell you, you gave a great example of that. So I want to actually go into the social media.
Yes.
You know, I'm excited about this. And, you know, I said we might say it a little earlier, but I'm going to make this announcement now. Y'all, this is going to be extended. So for the first time in history, you made history. We're going to make this an hour, because this is, I'm already in and we had 23 minutes.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? I want to dive into the social media aspect of needing some form of therapy or maybe some type of balance. And I want to start off with a small introduction of what made me even think about this. You know, like you mentioned, I feel like God really did place it in my heart when I experienced it. I took a break.
Mm-hmm.
Social media, it was almost like a wake-up call. I found myself scrolling through, and I also found myself doing something that I don't do in my real life, comparing.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, well, dang, you know, I haven't gotten that yet, or I haven't achieved that yet.
Yes.
When I pulled away from the phone, it was an emotion that I wasn't used to. It turned into emotions that I don't carry in my everyday life. Like, I'm not a jealous-hearted person or envious person, but these emotions started coming full top surface. Like, oh, you know, eventually I had to check myself and say, okay, Keisha, you've been off of social media. Where were these feelings before? It would turn into anger at times, you know, to the point where something I know I would normally thank somebody for or congratulate them.
Yeah.
Oh, that emotion was opposite. Like, you know what? I'm using some foul language today. Fuck them. You know, that's okay. What my mind was.
Okay.
And I'll be that's like, yo, Keisha, yo, like, who is this chick? You know? So I wanted, honestly, to dive into it because I know it's people who are on social media longer than me.
Yes.
They go to sleep with the phone in their hand. They roll over in the middle of the night. They go to it. And, you know, look, it's whatever calms your mind down. But while you're calming your mind down, I'm sure you're processing these emotions.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we talked about is you told me, Keisha, they processing it too fast, you know, and I thought that was awesome. For you to break it down like that, you pick up the phone and you see people fight. Okay, that's one emotion. Then you swipe and you see people dancing. Okay, that makes you happy, possibly. Then you swipe and you see something else. So you've got about 3-4 emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Because it did happen so fast, it didn't happen in real time. So we are at the 26-minute mark.
Okay.
And I know that this is going to be extended, but before we actually extend it, can we talk about what we came here for, which is the social media addiction? How are we in this age group? And it's mainly I'm seeing people in my age group that are super attached.
Yes.
And affected by social media, needing the validation.
Yes.
How do you think we got here?
Woo. Well, that's a loaded question. Okay, so social media in itself is not a bad thing, right? Just the concept of it. For a lot of people, it allows you to keep in contact with family who might live, you know, across the country, even around the world. It exposes you to activities, ways of living that you might not otherwise have seen. So in that sense, it's a good thing. However, when it becomes so pervasive in your life that it changes who you are, that's when it becomes a problem. And that's kind of what you talked about in your own story. It started to change who you are. And this is a relatively new disorder that we're looking at. In the previous diagnostic statistical manual for mental health disorders, this is called the DSM-5, that we use when diagnosing clients, there's no social media particular diagnosis. It comes under what we call a internet gaming disorder or video game addiction. So it's all under that heading, but it is about how watching social media, we start to get a release of dopamine. You've heard of dopamine. It's one of those feel-good chemicals in your body, right? Mm-hmm. So we get a hit of that in the brain, and the brain says, yay, that made me feel good. So I want some more. So you scroll on again. You want some more because it keeps making you feel good. Just like same kind of thing when people use drugs. You hear them say, oh, that first high is not, you know, people are always chasing that first high from getting high. It becomes kind of like that with social media as well, because those same sensors, that same dopamine receptors are working, and that's how it starts to become addictive. You're trying to get the same high. But we can talk also about what that looks like, because it's a little different, of course.
Yes. So, you guys, we are going to extend this because we got the meat, potatoes, but we need to plate this. Okay, we need to plate it just like your Thanksgiving plates go look. We go add some turkey on here. We go put a little dressing for the people that like, you know, a pumpkin pie and sweet potato. We go give you a whole buffet. So let's just sit back, you guys, and enjoy this holiday edition. We are going an hour in for social media addictions and how are we dealing and grieving with the holidays. So guys, stay tuned to part two. She is making history. I'ma call a doctor, like I said, Dr. Posey. We go come back and we go pick up on part two of this social media addiction and more. You guys stay tuned for part two. Okay, guys, this is part two. Put Your Phone Down podcast. I keep calling it the holiday edition, so I guess that's what it's going to be. We got Sherry Posey on here, and she's breaking down in so many great ways what we can do to manage, you know, therapy of any kind. The one thing that we did start talking about, and it just really got really good. And like I said, y'all, we go plate it. Okay. You getting some free therapy. Please take advantage of it because I'm going to have her talk about Rising Phoenix. And if you guys are in Michigan or driving past, y'all need to go ahead and make this appointment. Okay. But we're talking about the social media addiction that has pretty much, I believe, taken us by storm. And you did mention social media did start off innocent. You know, everybody was hopping on, and me, myself, I was seeing classmates that I hadn't seen in years and finding family members that I had never placed eyes on. And then, bam, it became my hangout spot for everything. You know, I started noticing that I may have been oversharing or announcing things that should have just kind of been kept to me and my closest friends.
Gotcha.
What I want and what I see is going is how do we, like I said, how do we get here and how do we manage this?
All right. So the thing about social media is that it's considered a behavioral addiction. So it's something that we do, that we're addicted to doing something. So we get addicted to checking our news feed, addicted to watching different little reels, like TikTok, for example. You can go from one to the next, to the next, to the next. On Facebook or Instagram, we keep scrolling from one story to the next, to the next. And it, after a while, can start to change you. Anybody is susceptible to this. Let me say that. You talked about, Keisha, how you noticed there were changes in you. And when you would look at certain things, people you said that you would normally congratulate, you kind of started hating on them. And that can happen with any of us. You'll see somebody maybe in the same field, their business seems to be taking off and yours may be stagnant for a moment. Or you're in a relationship and you and your partner right now, you're fine, you know, and you were doing good, but you're looking at what this other couple is doing and they seem so happy. They're in Dubai. They're doing this. They're doing that. Oh, he loves her. She loves him more than I'm being loved. All these things. Note the word seems like it is. Social media shows a fantasy life. We all naturally want a good life, happy things too. So it shows a fantasy life in that it's unrealistic. We are only seeing a portion of what somebody is going through. Sure, they are able to take this wonderful trip to Dubai and they're taking snapshots and selfies saying we're living the life. But you don't know if that couple can't stand each other. As soon as that camera is down, they could be fussing each other out. But you start to want what they have. We start to glorify a moment in time, not what somebody's real life is like. So we become addicted to looking at it. You and I talked about, as you mentioned before, about processing all of those things at one time. We don't have a chance to process one story before we're scrolling to the next. So we're only getting a portion of each one, and we're not really thinking it through. Then you combine that with the owners of like Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, all of them, they pour billions and billions of dollars and hire engineers to come up with algorithms that keep you hooked based on the stories that you looked at. Have you ever used your phone, picked up your phone? Maybe you were talking about something. You pick up your phone, you go on one of your social media apps, and then there's an advertisement for it.
Yeah, just happened this morning. And I was like, no. Right. Yes.
So those algorithms are picking up on what we say. And that's what they have been trained to do, which then keep us addicted. We think about it. And before we, you know, we're concerned about kids and too much screen time, teens, definitely. But how many adults do you see in a restaurant? You out for a nice dinner. Everybody got on their phone scrolling. Why is that more important than the people sitting at the table with you? You see people driving and scrolling. What is more important on that screen than paying attention to what's on the road? It is all because it becomes addiction, and our brain is now searching for that dopamine hit, and it would do everything it can to get it. It's just like getting high while you're driving down the highway. Mm-hmm. And so... Go ahead.
I don't know. I'm kind of tight-tongued because I wanted to say, like, I don't even know how we got here where, like you said, perfectly, going to dinner used to be the highlight, mm-hmm. you know, of the family. Oh, we going here, you know, especially if it was payday for one of the parents, honey, you right. knew. You could order off the steak side of the menu instead of the kids.
Right, you know.
And it was family time, and yeah. it wasn't announced, and we didn't have to pull out our phones. And now you look at it, and you know, it's what you said. You go to a restaurant, and man, everybody is attached to their phone, and everybody is quiet. So if it's messing up our minds, we have, like you said, the dopamine, and we're looking for that feeling. Can we dive into the babies? Because now I'm seeing babies, soon as they getting pushed out, they got a tablet. That's at the baby shower, you know.
And they do, and can use them better than you or I.
Oh my goodness. Okay, they can sit for real, and they barely three. So this is our babies. Pretty much this is their encyclopedia. This is how, let's start with the babies first. Mm-hmm. What do you suggest can go on to keep them from getting that addiction that kind of turns into anger? If you take a tablet away from a kid, yes. Oh, it's Godzilla. But I don't think that's normal. That's just me speaking. I'm a woman with no children.
Part of the addictive, that's because they've become addicted to it as well.
So what can we do to help these babies? What's your suggestion with that one?
We got to stop using tablets and phones as babysitters. When I worked in protective services, I can't tell you how many times I went to a home, and not just those homes. I just noticed it there. But the babies, you know, they don't go to school. They're behind on this, but you hand them a phone or a tablet, and they knew just how to screen to what, move those screens to get to what they wanted to watch, what they wanted to see. Because we're using them, the lights and everything, it draws the children in, right? Mm-hmm. And they can see anything they want, anything, anytime they want. You know, before, back in the day, for a cartoon, for example, we waited for Saturdays for cartoons, or I'm aging myself now, you know, all the Saturday cartoons, or we had to wait until there was some kind of special to watch certain things. And if you missed it, like those Christmas little cartoons, if you missed it that year, you just missed it. Now they can find it somewhere on the internet and watch it all the time. So mm-hmm. So kids are just so used to having it and using it. Like again, it's not all bad. Having access to it is, and it's the way of the world, but you got to limit it. A 1 year old shouldn't be scrolling and playing on your phone.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think is a good age limit? Cause I think one is too young too. So what's a good age limit, and then what's a good time frame you think?
Well, I think that's a real good question. So say you have a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old, right? And they're starting, and sometimes a little younger, and they're starting, you want them to learn their letters, numbers, how to count, those kind of things. Doing it 30 minutes or so based on age. So for example, if you have a 1 or 2-year-old, 30 minutes throughout the day. That's it. Where they're playing the game, and I suggest educational stuff. That's enough time. If you if you're older, like 5, maybe you can have it an hour throughout the day. And notice I say throughout the day, not all at the same time. Mm-hmm. Give them maybe an hour, and up, and I say that to about, 8 years old. Hour to an hour and a half, and that means the whole day.
Yeah.
The whole day. If you do 15, you can do it 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there, however you want to spread it out. But you shouldn't be using it longer than that.
And that's what...
Go ahead.
That's what my concern is, because mm-hmm. I'm starting to see a shift in kids. If you just, I just saw something recently, and I might mess up the story a little bit, but it just came by as a teenager, and I believe somebody took a device. It was a teacher, took his device, and he pretty much went upside her head. It's like what I'm starting to see in not just children, but now us. Now let's skip the mid generation. Okay, because I can't even speak for them. I'm looking at people in my age group. You just didn't age yourself, honey. I know all about them Saturday. I know about being mad. Like, man, especially when the VHS didn't get it. Like, dang it, we ain't even recorded it. Mm-hmm. But what I'm seeing is it does trigger something else. So what's the opposite of that, of the... What are you saying to get the dopamine? No, I just messed
dopamine,
that up.
Dopamine. Mm-hmm.
You know I can mess up some names and stuff. What's the opposite of that? Because just as we can feel happy and that high of, oh my goodness, I'm online and oh, I'm getting all these likes, there is a side effect that is not too good. So what's the opposite of that? And how can we get our kids from getting triggered so fast?
That's a good question. And also in adults, we got to look at that too. So what happens in the brain is we start increasing those hormones that are associated with anger. We start increasing those because... a neural pathway, they call it, is developed by how much television you watch, or how much social media you watch, or if you use drugs. It's called a neural pathway. The brain starts with that. And we see increases in things like adrenaline. So have you seen children or adults get angry super fast.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the chemicals that increases. And we start to behave badly, I'll say. is one of those hormones. It's released whenever we feel a hormone that's released when we feel fear or anxiety or stress, and we get all of this energy. Now, typically, adrenaline can be a good thing. You know, like if you're afraid to do something, like, I don't know, go skydiving, right? Adrenaline mm-hmm. will kick in and you'll have the excitement and you will be ready to kind of jump out that plane, right? Mm-hmm. So that would be a positive one. But that same part also throws an imbalance. And we'll see more dopamine, which is the in turn negative. So it's the same chemicals, but how they're produced and how the brain uses them is where we usually run into problems. So it'll increase serotonin and different other chemicals in our brain that we need normally, but they're at abnormal dosages. So too much of a good thing, I guess, mm-hmm. like that.
And that's what it is. Mm-hmm. So on my page, I just found something and I put it next to, you know, a flyer that I made of you. And it just kind of gave little stages and examples of mm-hmm. what a person can look forward to if they find themselves feeling addicted to social media. Mm-hmm. One of the pointers was the ups and downs, like you just stated, of being angry or different things of like that. And then you also mentioned that, you know, I guess it's going under the line in the therapist world of, you said something under the section of gaming and things of that.
Right.
What I want to kind of dive into is, have you had an increase or any at all of people who had to actually go through therapy or the social media addiction, and what are some signs? So if we start to see our friend that's in their phone a lot, sometimes they're not in it for the purpose of, you know, kind of looking, sometimes it's business, but mm-hmm. what are some things that we can kind of look too and be like, okay, look, either I feel like I'm addicted or I know mm-hmm. somebody is addicted. And so it's a two-parter. When is it okay for us to say, look, I think you might need a little bit of therapy, whether it's face-to-face or over the phone, but I think that this is taking over, you know, and have you seen people? Speaking of too much of a good thing, honey, I think this phone just got overloaded with too much information, girl. But we're going to keep it going. You know, things happen, but we want to, our goal is to get the message out. I wanted to kind of just pick up on what are some signs that we can see, whether it's friends, family, or ourselves, that we like, okay, this is turning into an addiction. And have you had actually patients to come in and you've had to kind of walk them through this?
Yes. Number one, I have had some clients come in and they do seem to be suffering from a social media addiction. Again, it's under like the internet and gaming disorder. It's such a new disorder because, you know, it's still relatively new to our world. But some of the main signals that there's something going on include changes in personality. People who are usually upbeat, friendly, become irritable, angry. They can't be without their phone. So if they can't find their phone, they get hysterical. They become short with other people. They can't go to sleep without their phone. They'll get into bed and they will scroll for however long. It, you know, maybe they'll say, oh, I'm gonna do it for 15 minutes or so. And at 15 minutes comes an hour or two, which is dangerous. We're not supposed to go to sleep with that blue light that emanates from our phones. It changes us. You're not getting enough sleep. It affects how people eat. People can't sit down and have a regular meal, or they'll change what they want to eat because they're being led to believe they should have something else to eat. It can change. You can notice there's an issue when it starts changing their belief systems. There's a lot of fake news, as they call it, bad news, lies on the internet and on social media, and people start to believe it. When you just see a person become someone else, they start to look different. They don't take care of themselves the same way. That's when we know it's becoming a problem. The same way you would notice somebody who you're thinking maybe they're getting high too much or they're drinking too much.
Yeah. This is deep because, you know, growing up, I was looking forward to life being like the Jetsons. And even though Jetsons was just a cartoon,
yeah,
I wasn't expecting no social media, honey. I was thinking about flying up in the air and yeah. One peel that tasted like turkey, chicken, and all of that other stuff.
That's the part I never wanted, though. I didn't want the peel. I guess I always have been greedy, and I didn't want the peel.
I was looking forward to the peel. I was like,
"Are you really?"
Oh yeah, I was a fat girl, honey. Listen,
I enjoy eating, so
that's all I was excited about. I was like, "Ooh, so they can get turkey and macaroni in one peel and be full for the man." I can't wait till that day.
Really?
But I guess, yeah, oh yeah, that's all. Look, you see, that's the thing that I mentioned, flying in the air and eating, honey. Like, that's all I was excited about. But I guess they was kind of like forewarning us, because if you do look at the Jetsons, mm-hmm. it's kind of like a little like shout out to social media. Like they was addicted to their gadgets as well. Yeah. So when is it a good time to actually go seek professional counseling? I know a lot of people like myself, I just pulled away from it. It wasn't even hard to do. So mm-hmm. I'm guessing maybe when it's hard to do it, that's when you can say, look, okay, I need some help. I need professional help.
Definitely. And if it's costing you something, like your job. People, you know, I've had a couple clients. Honestly, the reason they came in is because one was coming on the job sent them because they were so distracted. And they were just lucky that the job was going to pay for some sessions for them to kind of help find out what's going on. They were just so distracted by the phone that they couldn't put it down. And I had another client who lost their job. Very high paying job.
Mm.
Because they were so distracted on the phone, and it led to an accident where somebody else was injured.
I keep saying, and at this point, I'm not even looking at you for the answer, but I just keep saying, how did we get here? You know, it's like before this, I feel like we were thriving. And I want to tell you now, if this phone drops, sometimes it does, we just go keep it going. I hope you don't mind that, because I mean, sometimes that's what happens when it just gets too much. But I remember a community. I remember us having to actually speak
yes.
to each other. I remember, and I hate to make it seem like, shoot, this was the heyday. But now, if I go into an establishment, we don't speak, I might get a text message. Oh, hey, girl, I seen you in there. Oh, really? Well, what happened? Even in households.
Yes.
I'm going to text. I know that they in the house somewhere. Let me just text them.
Yes.
Communication isn't as strong. I also want to get into Man, this is just going to take a whole nother layer, but I want to make sure we cover everything. Something that you said about when people kind of stop taking care of their looks and their appearance, because I guess they stole into that phone that they can get up in the morning and before you know it, they've been on that phone all day and not have done anything. Mm-hmm. But I also want to tie into the filters. Now, something about you and I talked about when I worked with children, I remember primarily young girls I would work with. Mm-hmm. One of the things that was brought to my attention just in me doing my studying and what I could bring to the girls to help encourage and inspire them about their self-esteem was Snapchat had just kind of became a thing to me. I didn't know how long it had been in existence, mm-hmm. but they would take the pictures and it changed their whole appearance, you know, smooth their face out, smooth their eyes out.
Yes.
What it did though, is it messed them up because they felt like they had to look like these filters.
Yeah.
Now look, this ain't a kid thing, because baby, I'ma just put it out there that we go keep it real. Mm-hmm. Them filters can mess up some adults and they self-esteem too, because baby, you ain't gonna look the same, right?
That is true. We all, you know, those filters you put on certain ones, and you're like, oh man, well, dang, is that me? I look gorgeous.
Yes, but it's the flip side.
Uh-huh.
You should have known you looked gorgeous before, because honey, you gotta come outside. Yes, you know. And if you on these little dating sites, baby, you gonna have some explaining to do. Because they looking for them hazel eyes that, you know, like they looking, you know.
And you get there and it's somebody totally different. I joke and say that about how we do makeup now, where they can make your self look like a whole different person too, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we are not comfortable in who we are. We're not comfortable in our own skin and our own beauty, our own intelligence, our uniqueness. And we need to become more comfortable with that. You're right. Social media has with all these filters, you know, and they're cool to play with. But for an impressionable mind, and for somebody who has low self-esteem, they can become dangerous.
And that's what I want to say. Like, do you think that might fall in line to like a mental illness where, oh, well, I can't go out because I don't look like my filter. And this is a real thing. Like, so what would that fall under?
Social anxiety.
There we go. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing increases in social anxiety. People have these perceived notions now of what they have to be like, look like, talk like, sound like, smell like, all of the likes, instead of being comfortable in just being them. We're seeing increase where people are unable to talk to other people. They can, some of them are good on social media, they can say a lot, do a lot, but that one-on-one, that in-person conversation, they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to look somebody in their eyes when they're talking to them. They stay focused on the phone and heads down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I see a lot of teens, I'm always like, lift your head up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're talking, you know, let's look at each other when we're talking, because they don't have that skill anymore, because they have been so inundated with messages about how they're not enough, that they're uncomfortable in one-on-one conversations or being in a group.
And that's what I'm starting to see, because it's like, I didn't know if that was considered social anxiety. So I'm glad that I have you on the phone, because I'm starting to see it. Like, if somebody might work themselves up, like, oh, they will pretty much be like, I don't want to do it because I don't look like I do, you know, all them pictures that you posted. Eventually you got to come behind that screen, you know, mm-hmm. and now it's that different emotion that you're not ready for. So I'm so glad that I have you on here to address that, because we kind of got to scale back, and I'm like you. So, you know, I'm in my 40s and I'm single, and it's crazy to me because I'm at this point where, you know, outside does nothing for me, right? But when I am going out, what I've noticed, there is no communication. And I have had situations where, you know, I'm not introduced by no, usually I'm by myself. But when I come home, I might have a friend request from somebody who was in the same room with me
and said nothing,
but expresses interest. And I'm like, well, what you want me to do with that?
Wow.
Like, I'm going to remain single.
No, he's that person's out there.
Oh, yeah.
Out there. They just haven't. We're going to speak that into. We're not going to put that in the universe that you're going to remain single unless that's something you want.
No. Well, yeah. You know, I love the fact you spoke that in existence. I meant this fella is not getting a shot at me, okay, because you can't open up your, we too old now. So now this might turn to a whole nother conversation, but if we're in a room, let's act like social media does not exist.
Yes.
Approach.
Yeah.
Talk, use your words, you know? And that's I feel like the space that we're in where, oh, well, I'm gonna shoot my shot behind closed doors, you know, even though this person was in the same space and time and we breathed in the same thing, I'm just not gonna speak. She'll know when I send her a message. Oh no, it's not gonna work like that, you know.
That one is really something else. And I would probably be uncomfortable with that too. That's Sherry the woman saying this part. If a brother can't come to me and say hi and put his hand out, introduce me, ask me something, talk to me while we're there, how you gonna just send me, what did it say, slide into your DM?
Mm-hmm.
How you gonna slide in there? You ain't sliding nowhere with that kind of stuff. You weren't able to come to me and talk to me? Nah, probably not. I don't think.
Yeah.
But a lot of people do. That's how they meet.
That is how they meet. Now, I've always been told I'm kind of hard on guys, but you know what? That is something. For me, I'm a communicator. Now, you know, and like you said, eye contact is very important to me. If we're in the room and this is just not a me thing, I think that this is just kind of a social media thing now, like you said, people have more courage in the comfort of their own space. So, okay, yeah, I saw this person, even though I didn't build up my nerve at the time, but like you said, I'm a slide in. But I also believe that it's kind of messing up the dating field. Like, I'm getting online now and I'm seeing all these chicks with these high demands.
Okay.
About dating. Let's go there for a second before we talk about the grieving, honey. We just go. Now, listen. This is all new to me. Maybe I've aged out. I'm very simple when it comes to dating. Okay. They got all this list of what is not good for them. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to come down hard on the women. And I'm a woman myself, and so are you.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you doing for you?
Mm-hmm.
When you get on here and you dog a man out for the time that he took and he thought about you,
mm-hmm,
to take you somewhere. And you just been in the house, okay? Now all of a sudden, his pocket's not long enough for you, but what's been your resume before him? Let me know.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you on that. We are some of these expectations are a bit ridiculous. I think they're a bit ridiculous. Again, what do you have for yourself? Who are you? Is that something you're used to? People, like women, are wanting to go to certain places. Well, if you want to go there, what are you doing to get yourself into that room? Why are you depending on someone else to do that for you?
Yeah, I think that I have to blame social media, because it goes back to what you said in episode one. When you see these people and you don't know that they in Airbnbs, honey, you don't know that those cars are rented. You don't know that they doing it just for that appearance. Mm-hmm. You don't know that these people ain't got the money like you think. But nowadays it's just for an appearance, for a picture, post it, flexing, and that's it. And I think that nowadays you see a lot of people making it seem like, okay, only the 5-star restaurants, only the best. And that's made a lot of women who don't even know how to pronounce some of these restaurants all of a sudden. Oh, well, no. Because see, if a man not making this much, then he can't have me. But sis, what are your pockets looking like? Mm-hmm. You know, what can you do for him? So if he takes you to this 5-star restaurant, you got next? Right. It's a 5-star restaurant for him next? Because in my opinion, you have to be on that level where you can be able to reciprocate something, you know? Laying on your back just ain't like, come on now. Anyway, girl, look, I'm getting to a whole nother conversation and we ain't get on here for that. But okay. I really wanted to point that out and say, I think that social media is messing up the dating game as well with these expectations that, you know, you just have to get to know the person first.
Right. For sure.
You cannot compare, oh, well, he's taking her there. Out the bat, if a man's first date is just sitting in the car, you take that because you pouring into one another what you can get later on. Shit, you might not even like each other. Give each other a chance to know that. Moving forward, okay. We got a good 18 minutes on us, and I think that we have covered so much. But I do want to make room and leave space for people to know more about your business and, you know, how they can support you, even if it's over the phone and all of that. Mm-hmm. And before we get into talking about, you know, your business and how we can support you, I do know that the holidays are here. We are in it. Mm-hmm. And it's not a joyful for everybody, you know. One of the things that I talked about is, you know, we do have some people who have made their transition and holidays are hard. So when we hear certain songs, it might not bring that spark to us. What is it that we can do to coast through these holidays? The listeners that are grieving or triggered, I'm going to give you the floor to tell us how we can navigate through these upcoming holidays.
All right. So coping with grief on its own can be challenging for everyone, right? Particularly during the holidays, grief poses additional difficulties. You know, first, it's important to understand grieving does not follow a preset time. There's no specific end date, and it varies from person to person. We do see an increase of depression and grief during the holidays. So here are a couple tips that you can use to kind of try to cope with it. First of all, you got to let yourself feel what you feel and acknowledge it. You know, a lot of times people try to be stoic and not share what they're going through. But grief hurts. It's painful. You feel a loss. Allow yourself to feel that. Acknowledge that's what you're feeling. It's okay. Second thing, you can kind of, you know, think about being open to adjusting some of your holiday traditions. You know, do what you feel. If there's a specific tradition that you did with a loved one and it's too painful for you to do it, change it up. It's okay. But on the healing aspect of it, sometimes you might want to do the opposite and incorporate a time to remember that person, talk about them, talk about that tradition that you guys had and whatever you did, talk about it to others. The hardest time that you incorporate your grieving or missing that person into that holiday will probably be the first time. Now, that doesn't mean that years later you won't feel it, because you do. When we lose a loved one, a close loved one, there's a hole. There's you miss them. So how you want to think about how can you remember them in a positive way? If they liked a certain dish, perhaps for Thanksgiving. If there's three of you and they all liked us, and that person liked a certain pie, everybody try to make that same pie and see who came close to making it. Or definitely talking about that person helps relieve some of that pain. Talk about it with other people who love and miss them as well. Take one day at a time and take care of yourself. And it's okay to seek support and help. Coping with grief is I've heard somebody say death is the greatest equalizer, right? Mm-hmm. When somebody is gone, they're gone. And it doesn't matter who you are. If a loved one leaves, you feel it. And how long it takes you to process that loss just depends. But if you've been in that grief space so much that it's preventing you from being who you really are or enjoying certain aspects of life because you miss that person, I say go talk to somebody. Talk to somebody. Go in there and find some help, somebody who can help you work through it. It's not easy, but it's something that we all face.
That's just some free advice right there. And I got to say, very helpful. I'm listening to the calmness of your voice and taking it all in. Before we end this up, mm-hmm. and wrap it, I want to thank you so much for walking whoever is listening. I know, of course, I'm listening, but whoever this touches, I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful that you had the time and the opportunity. I know that none of this, the social media world, trying to, find our identity, with social media, like we just talked about, grieving. We gave people some layers. Like I said, I wanted for us to put it on the plate. And I just honestly, from the bottom of my heart, I have been moved in so many ways. I want to also, and this was not planned, and my voice is getting shaky just because it wasn't planned, but this episode is going to go to my dad. Wow. So everything that you said, it just touched me. My father passed away in 2011. Mm-hmm. And his birthday just passed, mm-hmm. November 11th. The wow. thing is, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Mm-hmm. I was not expecting it. And as much as I tried to shake it, I had to go to your rule number one. I just had to let it hit.
Yeah.
You know, I had to hit it because, you know, my father passed away pretty much unexpected. We didn't know that he was walking around with cancer, and it was a rare form of cancer. And it really and truly just kind of like shook the whole household, because we went from celebrating him retiring, wow, and we were planning a party, to later on us noticing that he had a lump in his leg. Uh-huh. And it just kind of, you know, it shook everybody. Yes. And it was one of those deaths that we pretty much went to the corners of our own. We did our own therapy. Me, I shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the back of my mind. Like, okay. But that stuff resurfaced. So I want to take time out, Daddy. I know you hear me. Your girl is out here just trying to, you know, make some things happen. So this episode is dedicated to Donnie King, who, you know, that was my guy. So I'm going to let you tell people where they can find you. We already know he was on TV One. Okay, so we need to know more about that. But also, Rising Phoenix, where we can find you, your social media platforms, mm-hmm, and just everything you want to talk about with that.
Okay. Well, thank you. And let me say, I am honored to have been chosen to be a part of this episode. And even more so in that this is one that you're dedicating to your dad. My father's passed December of 1998. I know how some years is harder. It hits you. You don't know what. So I can understand that. So, and I was a daddy's girl, so I understand that loss. Rising Phoenix Counseling Associates, we're located in Southfield, Michigan. Our phone number is 313-293-7460. I do have a webpage, risingphoenixcounselingassociates.org. Facebook and Instagram pages, Rising Phoenix Counseling Associates. We're here. We're taking new clients. All my therapists were handpicked based on their beliefs about counseling. And, I really just trusted God in choosing the people I work with. I think we, as a blessed staff, and we're here again. Our phone number is 313-293-7460. We're located in Southfield, Michigan, and we're here and we're ready to help.
So she told me earlier when I kept calling her doctor, she said, not yet. But I told her, I'm speaking that into you. I know that she is in the process, so why not get started? I'm already speaking this into your life. You have saved so many people just by this episode. I want to thank you and thank God for you taking a step on faith and knowing that, you know, you outgrew your current circumstance. And what God has done for you now has allowed you to bless others. Before I close out, I want to tell everybody again, happy holidays. And if Dr. Posey has not told you guys anything else, you are enough. Don't let social media tell you what you aren't. Put the phone down. Ha ha. Little shout out to myself. But no, put your phone down and enjoy, because when you look up, that 2-year-old is going to be 15. That thing that you wanted the most, it will pass you up if you don't get a chance to look around and enjoy what's around you. That phone is just a part of you. It's not all of you. If you do feel that you have some form of addiction, guys, go just get the help, because you don't want to lose your job. This is real. This is what she said. People are losing their jobs because they can't pick their heads up. People get in accidents because that phone means more to them than their life. They want to make everything a moment. Pulling out your phone, just enjoy what you have in front of you.
Yes, for sure.
So happy holidays, everybody. Dr. Posey.
Thank you. I received that title. Again, I'm working on it. So I receive you putting that in the universe for me. Thank you. God has been doing some things with me. And, you know, I am so grateful to him for calling me to be me.
Yes. And we need more views. So thank you for making history. We have extended. We got an extended episode. We made it a little bit over an hour.
Wow.
This is season 3. And when we hang up, I'll tell you how much this episode means to me. So in the meantime, you guys, pass this episode around. I hope that it helped whoever's listening. You were meant to hear this. Pass it around. Enjoy your family. If you don't eat turkey, enjoy whatever meal you got on your plate. Okay, y'all. And until the next time, y'all know I always say be good to one another, y'all. And that's it. So I'm Keisha from Put Your Phone Down Podcast. Thank you for rocking with me, everybody, and enjoy your holiday. Peace out.